Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 9th, 2022. Today is Wednesday in the first week of Lent. Our reflection today is drawn from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. It is important, as we read any of the four canonical Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that we remember these sacred texts are not primarily biographical insights into the life of Jesus. Rather, they are theological reflections upon Jesus' ministry, his teaching, his miracles, with particular focus on his final journey to Jerusalem, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion and death, and his resurrection. And so any bits of biography that are given to us along the way really serve as pointers to the larger narrative of his ministry and miracles, his arrest, trial, death, and resurrection. Biographical insights are there to point us to the larger picture that the evangelist, the particular author, is trying to tease out for us, who Jesus is, not so much in history, though Jesus is a historical person, but who Jesus is theologically. And so, there is a paucity of biographical information about Jesus prior to his beginning of his public ministry after his baptism by John the Baptist. Here's what I mean by a paucity of pre-public ministry biographical information. Only Matthew and Luke record anything to do with Jesus' birth. And those stories that Matthew records and that Luke records are found only in Matthew or Luke. The only commonality, really, in Matthew and Luke's story of the events surrounding Jesus' birth is the fact that Gabriel appears. Now, Gabriel appears to Mary directly in Luke, but Gabriel appears to Joseph in a dream after Mary has announced to Joseph her pregnancy. So the birth narratives are somewhat different, but they are each pointing to particular aspects of Jesus' life that that particular evangelist, Matthew or Luke, want to highlight. That's why today's passage from the Gospel of Luke is so intriguing. In all of the four Gospels, this is the only story of Jesus' childhood. Luke tells us that about the time Jesus is 12 years old, prepubescent, or early adolescence, Jesus and his parents go with a group of people, a group of travelers, to Jerusalem to make pilgrimage at a particular festival. When the festival is over, Mary and Joseph turn back toward Nazareth with the caravan, with the fellow band of pilgrims, and they make an assumption that Jesus is in the crowd. There's a group of people traveling. They don't necessarily see him, but they figure he's along with everyone. They go a day's journey from Jerusalem to discover he's nowhere in the midst of the group that Mary and Joseph are traveling with. So they hurry back to Jerusalem, the metropolis of the area, the metropolis of its time, and they spend 3 days looking for him. And when they find him in the temple having conversation with the teachers, having conversations with the elders, asking questions, giving answers, and Luke tells us that everyone who heard him were amazed at his understanding. Now, his parents were astonished, but I also can imagine a bit peeved, because Mary says, "Why have you treated us like this? We thought we've been looking for you." And Jesus' response kind of sounds like a diss. "Didn't you know I needed to be in my Father's house?" Now, I don't know if this means that Jesus has some insight into his paternity, or if he's simply referring to God as the Father of all, and he's already having a penchant for being in the temple. Nevertheless, whatever Jesus means by this question, those of us who have had teenagers or preteens or tweenagers, once they begin to establish their own identity, we're familiar with this sort of quippiness. I actually think it's a great insight into the humanity of Jesus that, yeah, he was an impulsive, enthusiastic, obviously intelligent, and sometimes a typical teenage boy who is establishing his own independence over and against his parents. But then, what Luke tells us next is that Jesus goes down to Nazareth, goes back home with Mary and Joseph, and was obedient to them. I believe that the reason that Luke includes this story is because he has been keen up to this point in his gospel to connect the life and ministry of Jesus with the life and the witness and the history of the covenant people of God. Luke really begins to sort of position Jesus as the new Moses, who's going to lead people into an understanding of the kingdom of God. Not lead them necessarily to the promised land, but lead them into this new kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven that is at hand. But I think making note that Jesus goes back home and is obedient to his parents, you can't be the new Moses if you don't uphold one of the primary commandments of God, to honor your father and mother. And so Jesus returns home, submits to the authority of his parents, honors them by his obedience. And then the last line in our reading today, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor." Now, this verse 52, where it says Jesus increased in wisdom, we can connect that to the end of yesterday's reading after his circumcision in Jerusalem, the summation verse that Luke offers in verse 40 of chapter 2 is, "The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom." This notion that Jesus is not only growing physically, but he's growing spiritually and intellectually as well, and wisdom is a byproduct of it. And he had grown in enough wisdom by 12 years old that he can have intelligent conversation with the religious teachers of the day. And then, after another 18 years, more or less, he has grown in wisdom and in favor with other people, such that he is ready to begin his ministry. Even though Jesus' ministry is characterized by immediacy, there was a lot of time spent in learning before he commenced. I wonder, during this season of Lent, in our culture that is obsessed with speed, that is obsessed with immediacy, and sometimes the church can be no different, how can we take this gift of these weeks leading up to Easter 2022. Spend time with the scriptures. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in contemplation. How might we provide some space in our lives so that we too could grow in wisdom? Whatever is going to await us as individuals, as families, as a church, whatever is going to await us as we continue to make our way through the pandemic, we're not going to be able to rely on muscle memory. It's not simply a matter of doing what we've always done. We are crossing over into a new time, and it is going to require wisdom and discernment. My prayer is that we could let go of our need for immediacy and embrace the sort of reflective, contemplative, intentional walk with God that will help us grow in wisdom too. Let us pray. O God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, grant that we may share the divine life of Him who humbled Himself to share our humanity, your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.